Hello and welcome to Strat News Global Podcast. I'm Nitin Gokhale. In this episode, I'm in conversation with Lieutenant General Raj Shukla, one of the scholar warriors famous for his insights into future technology which can be used by the military elsewhere and in India. Now a member of the UPSC, he speaks at various seminars and conferences, and in this conversation, he points out that Cold War 2.0 is already upon us and technology is ever evolving, which means that the military has to keep up with the challenge of being modern as well as ready to fight the future wars rather than plan for the wars that have gone by. Listen in. Let me start with the global flux that we are looking at right now. Multiple threats, multiple challenges, multiple conflicts going on. What's your sense? Are we in midst of some big change, or this is going to be an incremental kind of conflicts that are happening right now?
So Nitin, I'll just put some facts before you as I read them, and then you judge for yourself. But yeah. I mean, I would say it is far more than a flux. If I may use the term, the world is on an edge. It is on a powder keg. And let me explain why.
Sure.
So, you know, Walter Russell Mead
right.
very perceptively said that 2014, we entered the pre-war era.
Right.
And I was to wonder, what does he mean? Mm-hmm. Till I met General Patrick Sanders, who had come for IPAC recently.
Sure. Yeah.
And he's also a very thinking guy. Mm-hmm. Patrick said that we are the war generation.
Mm-hmm.
And look at it now. Look at the conflicts. There seems to be an unending line.
Right.
Georgia, Crimea, mm-hmm. Nagorno-Karabakh, mm-hmm. Kosovo, Iraq, Afghanistan, Europe. Europe which thought that, you know, it eternal prosperity is
the answer
is,
to everything.
Is its own,
yeah.
And it is poor Africa and Asians who fight.
Correct.
Look at what happened there. And on issues which are territorial.
Right.
India mein baat hone lagi thi ki bhai ladai nahi hone wali. And today, it is First World War One trench warfare.
That's
so the squadron company battles.
Exactly.
So this is, I mean, Walter Russell Mead was entirely perceptive in terms of this, you know, this war business.
War era, you mentioned.
Look at what is happening in Taiwan. I am telling you, I have concluded that the Chinese A2AD has successfully put the Americans out of the first territory.
Correct.
See, just look at this, 1996, China acts funny and the aircraft carrier comes, Clinton dispatches it and China backs off.
Yeah.
Today, American naval commanders are saying that our aircraft carriers have to be 1,000 miles off.
Yes.
It is only the expendable ships which will go.
Right.
And no war has been fought. But China is doing daily military coercion.
Right.
It seems to be signaling to the Americans that retreat to your corner of the Pacific.
Yes.
So, all this is working. Look at American failing deterrence. I mean, people are asking in America now. $950 billion, 800 bases, 11 aircraft carriers, and you are losing everywhere.
And South China Sea, they have lost in the last 10 years.
Ukraine, you have lost. With Russia now mobilizing, is Putin going to take the battle to Ukraine?
Right.
So it's not a thing to, you know, feel good about, but it's a fact. The failure of American deterrence here. 1 week before 7th October, Jake Sullivan in a conference, I mean, one should not blame him for it. Anyone would do it. But the fact is this.
Right.
He was asked about the world. He said, we have problems elsewhere, but West Asia is taken care of.
And then 7th October
the
happens.
Lesson from Israel.
Yes.
I mean, we as soldiers, we used to, you know, swear by Israel,
that's
a technological superpower.
Correct.
So the point is complacency doesn't work. The Americans are failing in their deterrence. Look at, look at the outstretched U.S. military. Their defense strategy very clearly says China is the pacing threat,
right.
Which means they should pivot. As they pivot, Putin kuch gadbad kar deta
hai,
phir West Asia mein kuch ho jata hai. Today, America is not able to honor its own commitments to Taiwan, $19 billion ka wo. So you see this failure of deterrence. You know, Churchill made a good statement. He said that you can either fight two wars or win one. Look at the American dilemma, fight three wars or win one. So, American deterrence, you know, is being seriously challenged. Look at these, some facts I'll give you. Mighty America, look at the state of its military industrial complex.
Sure.
I'm told there's a report to suggest that America doesn't have 7 days of missiles and munitions to fight in Taiwan.
Sure.
For the last 3 years, the US Army and its Marines have missed their recruiting targets. Navy, yaar. American Navy ke mukable mein koi nahi tha. 2025, China will have 400 ships. America will have 295.
Correct.
Look at how the military balance is changing. In Ukraine, the Ukrainians were firing 100,000 artillery rounds per week. The West could produce 1 lakh rounds in a month. The shortfall. Russia is winning because of its military.
They have the military.
See, General Rawat, may his soul rest in peace, used to ask us, why do you need 40i? We couldn't explain.
Yeah.
The reality seems to be 90i.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and look at one more worrying fact, which Neil Ferguson makes, and I haven't heard an American response. He says, today, the American debt is $33 trillion.
It is.
Which means you need $1 trillion to just for debt servicing. Defense, $950 billion. For the first time in American history, their debt exceeds their defense budget.
True.
Which means what? They don't have the resources to reinvigorate the military.
Yes. No, I know from people who actually deal with these ammunitions and others in the West, that their capacities have gone down so much. So, you know, you're right absolutely about, you know, declining
now,
West power.
Admiral Paparo, the CNC of IPECOM, he says the DF-21s and DF-27s, the missiles of the Chinese, have permanently altered the principles of naval warfare in the Western.
These are carrier killers.
Exactly. So, I mean, the point is, and see what, if America gets locked out of East Asia, look what happens to us. We're going to face, unipolar world was bad, but unipolar Asia will be worse.
Unipolar Asia with the Chinese dominance.
And
will
see
be.
What is it doing to the allies. In a time of rising expectations, America's capabilities are phasing.
Sure.
I'm told in private, the Koreans told the Americans that, listen, if it comes to Taiwan, we have to deal with North Korea.
Yeah.
The Japanese are having second thoughts.
Exactly.
So American deterrence is a consequence of all this. The purists, you know, don't seem to admit, but I think Cold War 2.0 is here.
That's right.
Ukraine was the first hot war. Taiwan may become the Cuban missile crisis, but is bar ulta. Last time America was playing the home game.
And they didn't blink,
this
but
time,
the Russians did.
And also the home game. You home have game, to project power.
Correct.
So, I mean, you know, somebody said, I think Dan Blumenthal, he said, you see, Americans are good at hashtags, hashtag Zelensky, hashtag, where is the cold military steel?
Yeah, exactly.
And now see the critical question. If you look in, if you back off in Ukraine, what message does it send to Iran, to North Korea and to China? So this, what is happening in the world is having, you know, great consequences. And at least for now, the winners seem to be Russia and Europe, Iran in West Asia. Perhaps China here.
So, and what is the consequence for us then?
Exactly. So, just two more points here. The consequence for both of us is this, that America, see, America is a comeback nation. It has come back many times in the past. It could now, even with Japan and all. But what we should worry about is the rate at which China is converting economic surpluses and technological advantages into hard power.
Right.
You know, Bill Clinton at one time said it's the economy, stupid.
Sure.
I posit, is it not national security stupid?
It is.
This ability, the Americans should watch and we should watch.
Yeah.
See, in our case, after 2014, the defense landscape has been transformed.
Completely.
We all know it, CDS, you know, the Atmanirbhar Bharat, all that. But the game is becoming bigger.
Yeah.
Our ability to transform our surpluses into currencies of hard power, if we lag with the Chinese, the lag will grow. The power asymmetry must grow. So that is what, you know, I think again that phrase is of Dan Blumenthal. He says, in a war era, our responses are not at war rates.
They're still at the peacetime.
Not at the war pace.
Correct. Yeah.
This is the criticality, you know, which we need to take care of. You know, and see, let make one point about China because it's material to us. China has a lot of trouble. You meet people who will tell you, you know, and I agree with it, a tanking economy, unemployment, real estate, what happened in the rocket force, all that stuff, the CHIPS Act is perhaps working, IDA. But the point is this, that in globalization 2.0, in most of the technologies, apart from, I think, AI, robotics, electric vehicles, green energy, quantum, I think there was a ORF report, in 37 out of 44, China leads.
Leading. And this they also should, have rare earth
exactly. materials. Exactly. This should worry up. You know, why is Z got after Jack Ma and all? He's told them that, listen, you are playing, wasting your time on video games, spoiling my youngsters.
Right.
Use them to create science and hypersonics.
Exactly.
So this is the way China looks at hard power. And that is why it should worry us a lot, because all that hard power which is being deployed against Taiwan, especially the rocket force and all, can be turned on us.
So, like I was saying, you know, all this, India, how should it respond and what should be the Indian plan?
Before I come to India, I'll just say one point, short point. You see, the singularity of American hegemony is being challenged in many ways. That is the first point. And the arsenal of democracy, which was that democracy, all that democracies stand for, all the good things will be protected by a very strong military arsenal. That was the philosophy behind those $950 billion and all that. The arsenal of democracy is fading, and the arsenal of autocracy is doing better.
And that is the fight between the two systems.
That should worry us. So now see, in our context, what I make this point that this edifice which has been laid of CDS, DMA and all the other things, you know, Atmanirbhar Bharat, new normals in our strategic outlook.
Sure.
We need to build on this to make a comprehensive national security makeover and reduce the power asymmetry with China. And one of the major ways of doing it is technologies and associated changes, not technologies alone, say technologies, cultural transitions, things like civil military fusion and all. See, I'll give you one example. If it is true, China's defense spending in 1995 was 2.5% of its GDP. Last year it was 1.7. Now, you know, they may be concealing a few things here and there, but the fact is that they carried out their major military transformation without spiraling costs.
That's right. So they did the what you call right sizing at many places.
Yes, and see the other issue. America's defense budget is three times that of China.
Yes.
China's defense budget is three times that of ours.
Yes.
Why is Beijing causing displacement anxiety in Washington and we don't cause similar
displacement?
Because structural corrections, theater commands, cultural transitions, to get AI going, the Americans have got Craig Martell as their AI officer. Who's Craig Martell? He is neither a soldier, nor a bureaucrat, nor a
academic.
He was doing machine learning in Lyft.
Right.
So you are admitting that if I have to get AI going, I need to get somebody of that sort.
Absolutely.
That is the first step.
Except other, you know, what you call specialties.
CENTCOM has got, of course, somebody to do AI. They have got a lady, I think her name is Dr. Juliana Moore, who is an innovationist, which means they are saying innovation is different from technology. Innovation is somebody who says
using technology for betterment.
And other issues, processes and all that. Now, see, in our case, AI can be the secret sauce to reduce power asymmetry between us and China.
Right.
See, I'll give you an example. This question that is, Shafi, what we should not fall prey to. See what went wrong in space. Till 2012, India was saying we don't militarize space. The world was leveraging space.
Already doing it.
2014, it became an active war-fighting domain.
Right.
And see the consequences. So basic space prowess we have.
Yes.
So we are doing very well in Chandrayaan, South Pole. Where are we failing? Commercial space. Military space, worse.
Yes.
We are absent in the LEO circuit.
Right. Exactly.
Look what has happened there. Even the Americans. You heard of that incident of Starlink.
Right.
See what Elon Musk did.
Yeah.
Starlink for
Zelensky
to communicate with global councils, to communicate with street resolve, and for troop morale. Also for artillery designation. And now see, here's the icing on the cake. I believe those Ukrainians sometime back, maybe 5-6 months back, decided to put some ammunition on an underwater submarine or underwater drone and use it to target the Black Sea fleet. Elon Musk gets a wind of it. He switches off the Starlink.
Correct.
The Ukrainians go rushing to him. He consults the Russians and decides that, you know, the Russians tell him, no, we will retaliate and it may go into the nuclear domain. he decides to switch it off and the submarine doesn't function or that, device. Is he CEO or is he chief of defense staff?
Exactly.
But we must acknowledge this is how power has moved to that sector. So we must get our tech giants into defense.
Correct.
And now look at the conclusion. I don't know how true this is. When this was going on, people queried, why are we dependent on Elon Musk Starlinks? Where are ours? The US military now has done Star Shields as a sequence to Starlinks.
Right.
So I'm saying we need first and foremost a LEO configuration, say in Ladakh, a LEO configuration in the Northeast. Quad war ki hum itni baat karte hain. Let's just do silent technological cooperation, co-design. Why not say AI enablement of the Northern Theater?
Right.
But see what is happening. Those debates constrain us. You know, militarization. In AI, we should not fall prey. Again, it has started. Risks,
Risk
opportunities. Risk ki baat kaun karta hai? Jinhone apna kar liya. So we should, I think Raja Mohan also has written an article yesterday or something. Nuclear apartheid.
Should not get into AI.
So of course risks, they are responsible ways of doing it, but don't lose capacity. Yeah. See, what are you competing with? China, look at its ambition in AI.
Absolutely.
They are saying we will link sensors and shooters across seven domains. Land, air, sea, subsea, seabed, space, EW, cyber, seven domains using AI.
Right.
So AI will apply across grids of war, sensors, shooters, logistics.
They're much faster.
And you can do it far better. And see, just to give you a sense of, or the viewers a sense of what AI will do, just two things from, you know, they say, interestingly, that Einstein's IQ was 160. ChatGPT-4 is 155. My IQ is 130, yours must be 140. And ChatGPT-6.
Yes.
Will be 10 times that, in 2 years.
True.
So, you know, Mo Godath, he's an American thinker.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, you have got a puppy into your home who's billion times smarter than you.
Correct.
It is for the humans now to redesign his.
Right.
So, his AI DNA will really embellish us. And the third thing is, see, if today a hypersonic missile is getting in-flight, AI-enabled in-flight updates, the response cannot be at the rate of human judgment.
Cannot be. And then you're just left catching up, or you're just left
look
behind.
At quantum. You know, people think quantum is theoretics. I'll give you one more piece of statistics. Somebody said quantum supremacy could be 3 years away, 6 years, eight years, but the day it happens, what ordinarily a problem which would take 10,000 years for a supercomputer to solve, a quantum computer will do in 200 seconds. Look at the impact on encryption, which is going to transform the military.
Completely.
No wonder the CIA is saying that the quantum threat is as grave as China. These debates in India should start now, actions and debates. And if we do this, the power asymmetry can reduce greatly, and that will give the signal to...
No, so luckily, at least the quantum mission, from what I know, Abhay Karandikar, who has now become the Secretary of Science and Technology, he's come from IIT Kanpur, which is, you know, one good thing which has started off late, that you're getting professionals to come into the government to take decisions. I think quantum mission is something...
Yeah, but here, see, since you raised this point, I would like just to make this point.
Yeah.
What we are in danger of doing still, because this is how the West thinks,
right.
And this is where I agree with Mr. Jaishankar, we must not
have
do what the West
way.
Does, think our own way.
Own way, yeah.
The West says dual use, so civil military. So like in space, the military will lag. We need a parallel quantum mission in the MOD or quantum linked to
links,
the MOD.
Yeah, exactly.
And see, you are up against them who use civil-military fusion.
Exactly.
They lay no distinctions.
Nothing.
So you are naturally handicapping your, and I will not say military, strategic military.
Correct. Absolutely.
So we should think originally, and see, I think it's a wonderful point place to make this point. What do our own texts tell us? They say, the convergence of Lakshmi, Saraswati and Durga.
Absolutely.
So, Saraswati means get your academia, IITs,
correct.
Let them make wealth and use wealth to nurse power.
Correct. Hard
it power. Is totally against this civil-military division.
Exactly. No, in fact, I would think it should now be the other way around. The military should start innovating and and doing the research and give it to the civilians.
Now, see, I'll tell you innovation. AI cannot come to the military unless you get Craig Martels.
Right.
the startups will bring the AI revolution more than DRDO. And not making a point on DRDO in its current state just doesn't have that innovation capability. That, and see, those innovations, what the game in AI cannot be, it cannot degenerate into a L1 contest.
No, it cannot be.
Innovation is talent. Yeah, exactly. It has to be a talent matching concept. Now, these are the cultural transitions I'm talking. But see, you know MOD, I know MOD, and the whole defense apparatus. Yeah. It is so difficult to get this going.
True.
Because if, even the good people will tell you, I agree with you entirely, Raj, but
L1
ka main kya karu?
The rules don't agree.
Innovation matlab L1 ko badalna padega.
Exactly.
And if these things happen, we are as good as anyone. See, I'll give you one more statistic. Kishore Mahawar makes this point. He says, if the Indian mind productivity is even 50% of our Indian counterpart in USA, our GDP will be $25 trillion.
Because there are so many of us.
We are good.
Good, yeah,
if we just unleash this whole, these shackles that we have put around
true.
Us,
yeah,
this is what. So
when you,
we are in our moment. When you, the basic question is, much is right.
Yeah.
See, with the operational rebalancing, China is not going to mess with us along the LAC.
Yeah.
They have
correct.
Got the message.
Yeah.
It is in these other areas where we
can do.
They can
keep chipping away, no? I mean, that's the problem. See, the Chinese
want to
win without fighting. They're fighting the old conventional war.
And see, you made this point so well. They are doing the same thing to the Americans. They are saying, you stay to your corner of the Pacific.
That's right.
And they send the message without doing any jhagda.
Yeah.
When people ask, you know, will there be a war? They may not be. Mm. But if the power asymmetry goes, whenever there are conflicts, they will pose the question, ki bhai, ladna chahte ho?
Yeah, exactly. So we are,
and what will any sane mind in India do?
Correct.
So, you know, that original point, deterrence is costly, but wars are costlier. Ask the Ukrainians.
And deterrence has to be in the mind, no? And to do that, you must have all these abilities or the capabilities.
And one big transition we need conceptually in our armed forces, we are fighting focused. Of course, that is very important.
Yeah.
We should also become deterrence focused.
Absolutely.
So strong in deterrence that there is no need to fight.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I, you know, what the point that you made, and when you were in the training command, I remember this innovation, the kind of academia links that you had started off. We need much more of that.
See how it is paid
churn.
Off. Paid off. And not only me, I must pay. It is General Rawat, General Saha, Chanan. But see the consequence. It is so gratifying.
Right.
Jo humne, achha, by the way, let me make this point publicly. Army is considered a technology laggard. Maybe today we are pretty well off.
Right.
See, you ask Samir Joshi.
Yes.
Today he is running into
new
200
space.
Crores or something. Who gave him the first army?
Correct.
I'm just saying good things can happen.
Yeah.
Ek hai startup 3i or something. You must interview them. Vinayak Dalmia, Vinda Kapoor, Kabhi Karna.
They are working with GA now. Yes, that day.
They have got a contract in the Predator deal.
That's right.
Spacecom has given 114 AI in AI domains.
Right.
The Navy is doing a wonderful job. Say 1500 crores in one day.
Exactly.
But given the China threat, we need
much more.
Pick it up.
Much
pick
more.
It up.
I
and
think
see now what the Prime Minister says, these startups have to scale up.
Correct.
And these scaled up startups have to become our national champions. See, one more thing must go out of the window, Nitin. This business of we telling the private sector ki aap line lagate ro, you know, keep investing and we will judge you by L1. This is not going to work. There has to be a degree of assuredness.
So
why will anyone put money on this?
That's one. And so if you are emulating the Americans, then please emulate them fully.
Whole hog.
Oh, exactly. Emulate them fully. But for lessons for the military, now let me come to that part. Technology is inevitable, inescapable now as we see it. And induction of technology has to be more and more. In that respect, you know, these innovations, IDEX, all these things that have started, it's okay. But if there are enough officers also who are thinking out of the box and, you know, youngsters who are doing some innovation, I think they need encouragement, which I just saw a report, the Army has started doing this. They asked for a competition and, you know, some of these people came up. They are giving them patents. I mean, they are helping them to get patents and all that. I think that culture, like you mentioned, should be fostered and encouraged going forward.
So I quite agree with you. See, some of it is happening. Some of it needs to happen more and more. See, as you were talking, this thought came to my mind. Look at what the army has done. Hamara used to be very sticky about not extending tenures.
Yeah.
See, that has been done. Shannon did it in Europe 7 years. Right. There's a guy called Captain Raj Prasad. Right. He's done so many. That bit has started.
That's right.
This bit of encouraging youngsters, I don't think it is no longer the case. We are encouraging more and more. We should do even much more. What should also happen, Nitin, concurrently? You see, the career graph, this is very important in my view. What kind of officers do we need? We need officers who are very strong in the fundamentals. So say I'm a gunner, I should be a very good artillery officer, infantry officer. As you grow in service, it is my view that, say, colonels, lieutenant colonels should be integrated war fighters. Yeah. Now you start thinking. And, which is even more critical, brigadiers upwards, you have to be officers with a wide-angled view of national security.
Correct.
This is inescapable. Now, how do we do it? One of the things I've been suggesting, the CDS should sit on the boards of 3 stars. That is his prerogative to show that it is those kind of officers
people
that
we want.
These changes have to be
deep selection also.
And two more points I would like to make. The first command, in my view, and I hear I may be a lone warrior, it should be our track, should be joint. Give it to Navy, give it to Air Force, because if your thinking is not joint.
Correct.
And see, ARTRAC is actually just not training, it is doctrines, it is futures, it is innovations. By the way, the Army, US Army has set up a futures command.
Correct.
Now, we can't do all that. I'm saying with my experience of ARTRAC, ARTRAC should look at futures, innovation.
Yes.
It is not an easy thing.
Absolutely.
US Army has designated a 4-star to drive innovation. Exactly. Drive it.
Absolutely.
Not talk, drive. And training should be delegated to 3 stars.
Absolutely.
And the other place which is very critical is Commandant Defense Services
Staff College.
He has to be, see,
imaginative and also up to it.
Let's take the Chinese example. Why are they leading in ideation? They have the sharpest think tanks, Tsinghua, even in their CCP.
Absolutely.
So we have to create something of that kind. So those cultural transitions are extremely
important. So one of the other points that is also the role of the private sector. See, if we, if the military ropes in the private sector at the conceptual stage and tells them, okay, we are with you on this. So for that, the rules need to change, the culture needs to change, and not have that same Sarkari approach to it. So I think there are 3 or 4 things, steps that, you, from what I can see, what you're suggesting is much more imagination, innovation, ideation amongst the officers, and also link ups with academia and the private sector. These need to be sort of speeded up and fostered. Is that something you know we should look at? Because otherwise threats are going to just multiply.
The good news is that much of it has started.
Right.
Like many of these ITs are leading many projects.
Sure.
It has to be scaled up.
Correct.
They have to be scaled up.
Right.
The Indian Army had many of these projects and a whole lot of ITs.
Exactly.
The other issue, I would say ideation with execution. See, there's no point my putting 2 paras of the first para AI quantum in every commander's speech and then not understand.
Not understand.
Have
it,
the humility. Let me tell you this.
Yeah.
These technologies are such, you first have to have the humility to understand them.
Correct.
You cannot tell staff officers to put this up.
No.
AI and all, you have
you to
sit.
Yourself. Yeah, exactly.
Once you understand it, I'm sure commanders will unleash
That's
it.
Right.
So ideation, hamare yahan the biggest problem we have done is created these distinctions, scholar, warrior.
Yeah.
Arre kya hai yaar,
warrior, can't be together.
Thinking, general. It has to come.
Yeah. Both. And no, you have to dirty your own hands actually.
And this is not, I am from NDA. NDA's whole thing was of well-rounded officers.
That's
so
right.
Where has this started?
Correct.
You think and you execute.
Exactly.
So that is extremely important. And I would say today in priority, digital integration, I mean, just as a phrase, is more important than theater command.
Sure.
Cultural transitions.
Absolutely.
This thinking bit. And see, let me say, private sector has started. Tata Airbus, see, this is good for us,
Correct.
Is going to challenge the monopoly of HAL. It will be good for HAL.
Yeah, exactly. They will improve as they go along. Yeah?
DRDO, like DARPA, should be a mentoring organization for technology startups.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to do it.
Yeah.
And those startups, see, look at what how startups can change the fate of nations. What was Bayraktar?
Yeah.
It was a startup.
Correct.
It has made Turkey a drone superpower. Strategic.
Iranians are doing drones. I mean, can you imagine which Russians are leasing and, you know,
and see,
are doing
you will not get it till you visit it. I visited one of these startups. I was amazed. somebody has hired one of these startups 60 IIT engineers. Mm-hmm. Now see you what you are paying them, what are your tensions, and you go at 10 o'clock in the night, 12 they're o'clock at there. Night, they are struggling with some part of a chip or some Absolutely. Part of a disk. That has to be the struggle. The problem with Sarkari organizations is that they have become this 10 to 5 delivery.
Yeah, that's right.
Which will not happen.
So luckily, I think the DRDO reforms are around the corner. I hope around the corner.
Yes. But they really have to be deep reforms.
Deep reforms, absolutely. You know, there will be complete dismantling, I suppose, and then, you know, restructuring of the entire thing, like what they did with the OFB.
Yes.
Break them up into various segments and, you know, did all that.
See, OFB, if this reform had happened pehle, OFP, look, it doesn't have a problem in producing volumes of munition, but they are producing dumb munitions which are of no use.
Exactly.
They have to be precise.
Smart munitions, yeah, exactly.
Smart and intelligent.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So these are the challenges.
That's
so I know I make this point, a lot of that has started, but it needs to
scale
up
yeah.
and speed up.
I think that's where I think we should end our conversation, because that's the start point of scaling up things. And getting the technology into the military domain is going to be the
And see, just one
more
last
forward.
Point if I make,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
AI, what is the lesson out of this whole Sam Altman affair?
Yeah.
The lesson is that AI cannot grow in the isolation of research labs.
No.
AI
Practical applications.
Has to
yeah.
interact with the commercial world.
That's right. Exactly.
So, unless data explodes and computing power explodes, you will not have AI. Now see, what is the biggest problem? This is the last point I left. With our military, as with other military, see,
right.
US military,
yeah.
Ash Carter had to tell one of the generals that, listen, you can have your data very secure in silos, or you can have data talking to data. The problem with military is, I'm telling you, we have not even unlocked our data.
That's right.
And that data has to get unlocked. And there's a lovely phrase, you know, you have to be data first informed, then you will be data driven, then you will be data led.
Right.
And now AI steps in.
Yeah.
And AI will give you new insights which
Absolutely.
Humans cannot see,
Never.
Like that game to move 37 moment and go.
That's right.
So if you understand AI, this is what AI will take you to.
Absolutely.
And
no, I fully agree. And I think people like you must keep on talking about this, implementing them. So. Thank you for this insight. It's great talking to you, and I'm sure there'll be more occasions for us to have these conversations.
Thanks a lot, Nit. Thank you for
It's a pleasure.